About fear last time, and we kind of, on Wednesday nights, we freight train a little bit. We get so far and we just quit, unhook, hook back up the next week, and start out on it. We talked about last week a Greek word that is translated, it's the most translated Greek word for the word fear, called phobos or phobo or phoboa. And we get our phobia, the word phobia, from that. And it means fear, to be terrorized by. And we have different kinds of phobias. We talked about that a little bit. We have hydrophobia, fear of water, arachnophobia, fear of spiders. What other kind of phobias do we have? Claustrophobia, agoraphobia, which is fear of crowds. You just name about any kind of thing you can think of, and there's usually a fear. We even said there's one that a fear, and I forgot what it's called. It's people getting peanut butter stuck to the roof of their mouth. And I'm not making that up. That's a real fear. I don't know how that works, or why it works, or why anybody be. You know, there are people who are afraid of clowns. Dwayne Roark Jr. is just terrified of clowns. And he can see a clown, and it doesn't make any sense why anybody would be afraid of a clown. Or, be afraid of Bozo. But I don't understand that. But people have all kinds of fears. Every thought that we have comes from one of two forces, or one of two places, either faith or fear. Faith and fear are opposites. They are direct opposites. Doubt and fear are not opposites. Faith and fear are opposites. What is faith? Faith is believing that what we cannot see will come to pass. What's fear? Fear is believing that what we cannot see will come to pass. One is in the negative, the other is in the positive. Your faith will make you whole. Your faith will save you. Your faith will heal you. Your faith will set you free. Your faith will do so many positive things in your life. And fear will keep that from happening. Where fear is present, faith is absent. In fact, if we really get down to it, and we don't like to think like this, but the Bible calls fear a sin. In fact, it says in Revelation chapter 21 that all of the fearful, and it names all of the yuckety-muck other stuff, like adultery and fornicators, and it puts fearful right in the middle of it. It says, they shall have their part in the lake of fire. That's kind of spooky, isn't it? Because every one of us, every day, deal with fear. As long as you live in this life, you're going to be confronted by fear. But when does it become your fear? It becomes your fear when you begin to act on it and it becomes a part of your life. If your fear keeps you from doing what you know you need to do, then at that point it becomes wrong. How many times has the Holy Spirit nudged you to go say something to somebody and you didn't do it because you was afraid? Well, I don't know what they will think of me. You know what that is? Fear. Did you know insecurity, inferiority is fear? We named a whole bunch of stuff that was fear. And a lot of things that we don't think about being from fear is from fear. Fear is the mother force of the kingdom of darkness. If you think back to Genesis chapter 3, after Adam had sinned, and this shows you the magnitude of the fear that gripped Adam and Eve's heart. They were made by God for God. They were made for His presence. They were made to be in fellowship with Him. When they feared and the presence of God came into the garden, they hid themselves because they were afraid. Fear had gripped their heart and began to control their life. When fear grips our heart and controls our actions and our life, it separates us from our purpose, our design. It separates us from everything that God wants us to do and to be. We should loathe fear. We should be on guard that we do not allow fear to control us in any shape, form, or fashion. And it's fear can be tricky because there are things that come from fear that we don't recognize as being fear. Sometimes we think that's just the way that we are. Intimidation is what? Say it with me. It's fear. I mean, anything that is negative in nature is fear. It comes from fear. And it has no place in a believer's life. I mean, it has zero place in a believer's life. It will keep you from your potential. And we don't need to be kept from our potential. Okay, we're going to look at some things. We looked at this. Let's go over some of this as we did last week. Some fear has a great range of meaning, like the sensation of daring, wariness, healthy awareness of the dangers, cowardice, timidity, afraid to adventure, intimidated. You know people that intimidate you? Then that's fear. That's fear. Apprehension. I don't know if we ought to do that or not. Fret. Man. You ever do that? I mean, you're fretting about, I don't know how this is going to come out. You need to treat that like what it is. It's fear. And it's trying to control you. And here's what fear will do to you physically. Fear causes stress. Stress will begin to attack the thought processes. It begins to break down the body chemistry. When we were in the last life group where Caroline Leaf talked about the brain and how the brain works, that fear absolutely causes the body to deteriorate. The negative things, the negative chemicals that are released in our body begin to tear down our body. Heart disease, all of those kind of disease, hypertension, all of that kind of stuff. So it affects us physically. It paralyzes us emotionally. There is really torment with fear. And I'm talking about fear that will torment you. And let me say it like this, because we said fear and faith are opposites. Fear is lack of trust in God. Fear is trust in God. I mean, that's what faith. Faith is trust in God. Okay, I say it right. Yeah. Faith, yeah, reverent fear. Faith is trust in God. Fear is lack of trust in God. Okay? Now, will we all be faced with fear? Yes, we will. But we do not have to allow it to control us. It has been credited to John Wayne. He says, courage is fear getting in the saddle anyway. And sometimes you have to do things in the face of fear. Fear will come at you. It will come to you from the outside. It will look intimidating. It will try to shut you down. But you have to make the decision that you're going to press through and you're going to do the thing that fear says that you will not, cannot, should not, that you should, and you go ahead and do it anyway. All of us are going to have to run through our fear. I shared a couple of weeks ago, last week, I don't know about, when I decided, and I really felt like I was supposed to run for political office. And I ran for city council. I had two terms on the city council in Batesville. And when I thought about announcing that and going to the paper and writing up an announcement and all of that, I mean, just terror almost just gripped my heart. Well, people are going to think you're stupid. Who are you anyway? You're just that dumb preacher from out at, I didn't live out here then, but I lived in town then. You're just that dumb preacher. What business have you got doing that? What was all of that? Where was all of those voices coming from? Those were the voice of fear. Fear tries to talk us out of doing the things that we know that we're supposed to do. And that's kind of practically how fear will work. So fretting and worry. People say, you know what, I just can't help it. I've worried all of my life, and I guess I'm just made that way. No, you're not made that way. You became that way. You were not designed to worry. You were not made to worry. You were not made for fear. You were made for faith. You were made to think God's thoughts. You were not made to think the devil's thoughts. So when we really unmask fear for what it is the work of the devil. That's just a blunt way of saying it is the work of the devil. And when we give in to fear, we allow the devil to control our lives. Absolutely. When we press through our fear and do in obedience what we know in our heart we're supposed to do, then we overcome fear. There's only one way to defeat fear, and that's to overcome it. That's to beat it, to whip it, to do the thing that you're afraid to do. It's quiet, isn't it? How about anxiety? Ooh, you ever been anxious about things? Anxiety, just chronic sense of panic and terror, dread. I mean, that's ooh. Do you know when fear is after you? Do you know how you feel on the inside? I know how I feel in my heart. And I'm talking about in my chest, in my lungs, and even where my heart is concerned. When fear and the pictures that fear brings against my mind, and I can feel the pressure on the inside of me. I can feel it. And I'll say, no in the name, I just say it out loud sometimes if I'm by myself. No in the name of Jesus, I'm not thinking those thoughts. Lord, you said, you've not given me a spirit of fear, but a power and love and a sound mind. Devil, you have no right in Jesus' name to do that to me. Those are not, God, those are not your thoughts. And Satan, I refuse to think them in Jesus' name. Now, you wouldn't want to say that in public where folks could hear you because they'd think you're crazy. But you know, you get by yourself. Sometimes you have to address the fear. Fear in Jesus' name. Say to fear what the Word says. No, it says that Jesus took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses, and with His stripes I am healed. Satan, you'll not take my life. You'll not shorten my life. I have heard people say, had a preacher say to me one time, he says, I won't live to be very old. And I'm thinking, I am never going to say that. Why would I say that? Where does that come from? The Bible says, with long life will He satisfy us and show us His salvation. Why am I going to say, you know what, I just feel like in my heart I'm going to die young. And I've heard people say stuff like that and die. I'm saying, I'm going to live to be an old man. I'm going to be a sweet old man. I'm not going to be old and crotchety. I'm going to be old and sweet. You say, well, how can you say that? Well, Psalms 91 says, with long life will I satisfy Him and show Him my salvation. And this has happened to me before. Fear has come to me and say, you'll never see your grandsons graduate from high school. I just say, in Jesus' name I will. What am I doing? I'm coming against fear. I'm not embracing what going on inside of my head or coming at my mind. Did you know that every thought that comes at you is not one that you generated? Now, we generate a lot of our own thoughts. You know, if you watch TV, TV will put thoughts in your head. It's designed to do that. How do you think they sell their product? I mean, if you're going to sell a product to a guy, what do? Put a half-naked woman on there. Or say, if you drink my product, then these women will chase you. Well, you know what they've just done? They put an image in your mind. They're trying to control your thoughts. There's a lot of things that try to control our thoughts. And not every thought that comes at us comes out of us. Sometimes Satan puts thoughts in our mind. Sometimes God puts thoughts in our mind. And let me say this to you. If the thought that comes to your mind puts a picture of fear and dread in you, it did not come from God. If somebody said, you know, God spoke to me and told me to get ready because I was fixing to die. No, He didn't tell you that. Especially if there was fear and dread. God don't use fear. Anytime the angel ever appeared in the Bible, they always got scared. And what is the first thing that the angel always said to the person that just had the bejeebers scared out of them? Fear not. Don't fear. Don't be afraid. That's always been the message from heaven. Don't be afraid. You don't have to be scared of God. You need to reverence Him. You need to have a holy fear, which is an awe. But it's not a fear where there's a torment. Okay? There's not a fear where there's a torment associated with it. Our fear of God should be awe, honor, respect, and reverence. If God says something in His Word, we ought to fear that. We ought to honor that. We ought to reverence that. If He tells us to do something, and we ought to listen to it. That's His Word. Amen? Isn't that His Word? Okay. All right, I want to get into some... We talked about things that we fear and examples of fear. The things that it does to us physically, physiologically, spiritually. Fear will cause you to question your relationship with God. It'll cause you to question your salvation. It'll cause you to question your sanity sometimes. Am I a Christian? Does God really love me? Da-da-da-da-da. Fear will do that. When those thoughts come at you, know that you're under spiritual attack. Anything that comes at you where fear or a negative image is projected, you are under a spiritual attack. You need to be smart enough to first of all, to realize that, to recognize that, and then begin to deal with it. I've had more Christians say to me, you know what the devil told me? I want to say, what are you doing listening to him? Most Christians can hear the devil a lot better than they can hear God. And I think a lot of that has to do is because we have been schooled in fear. We have been schooled to worry. That's our natural inclination. That's why you have to get the Word of God in your heart. Renew your mind day by day, starting to think different. You know, it's easy to get saved. It's easy to get saved. But it's hard to become like Christ. Because it takes your whole life. It takes diligence. It takes persistence. It takes putting that Word in there. And you're not ever going to get there till you get there. And it's probably not going to happen in this life, but we need to be a whole lot closer to being like Him that we are than when we begun. Well, I thought when I got saved, I got through. No, you didn't get through. You just got started. When you get saved, that's when He starts the cleanup. You know, we say this, God loves you just like you are, where you are. He doesn't care what you've done, where you've been. He'll save you just like you are. He'll accept you just like you are, just as you are. Or as they said in the Billy Graham, just as I am without one plea. That's the way we come to God. He loves you enough that He'll accept you like that, but He loves you too much to leave you like that. He begins the cleanup process, but we have to cooperate. It's not just coming to church two or three times a week and going home and living like we want to. No. You got to constantly be putting stuff, good stuff on the inside of you. Garbage in, garbage out. If you put crud in there, crud's going to come out. If you put fear in there, if you let fear stay in there, Fear is going to come out. How can you tell if a person's in fear? Just listen to the way they talk. If it's negative, it's fear-based. If it's positive, it's faith-based. And you have to work at your faith. Fear comes easy. Can I say that again? Fear comes easy. Now, the more you grow in Christ, the more you renew your mind, fear will have a harder time of tricking you. As you get some, as your mind starts to pick up on that stuff, you'll say, "Nope, in the name of Jesus, I don't receive that. That's not of God." Now, thoughts come, "Nah, not God." Thought, "Yeah, that's God. Hey, thank you, Lord." And you just begin to say, "Nope, not God." You're supposed to analyze your thoughts. You're supposed to analyze every thought that comes into your mind. And if it's one that holds you back and says you can't, when God says you can, then quit listening to the devil and start doing what God said to do. Okay. How do we respond to fear? And here's some practical things I want to talk about. Then we're going to look at some Scripture. Anybody ready to look at some Scripture tonight? I've got page and a half of Scripture I'm going to give you. You can write it down. But here is our natural responses to fear. This will help you to realize when you are in fear. Here's a word that we hear a whole lot when we go to celebrate recovery. Deny. You ever heard the word denial? I don't have a problem. I don't have fear. Ooh. Denial. We will not admit. You know what denial is? It's lying to yourself. Honesty begins with self-honesty. Honesty begins with an inventory that you take of your own life. It really does. That's where honesty begins. It begins with yourself. I cannot really be honest with you if I'm not honest with myself. If I don't look at myself in the mirror and say, "Boy, you got a problem." I don't have a problem. It's Nancy's fault. It's Paige's fault. It's my wife's fault. It's my job's fault. If this didn't happen, if that didn't happen, I don't have a problem. It's called denial. If it's happening inside you, then you got the problem. I can't control what you say to me, but I can control how I allow it to affect me. Okay? I wished everybody in the world liked me. And I don't understand why they don't. I'm being honest. But not everybody likes me. Am I gonna allow that to torture me? No, because that's fear-based. This one thing I know. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And if I'm doing what Jesus wants me to do, He loves me, and He loves me if I don't, but He loves me, and if I do what He wants to do, and you don't like me, then maybe you don't like Him. I don't know, maybe that's a different way of looking at it. Maybe we need to look at things differently. You're not going to make everybody happy. You know, I've noticed this among ministers. The most effective ones I know are the ones that get the most criticism. They get the most criticism. Who is it that gets attacked? It's the ones that are doing something. Joyce Meyer, she gets attacked all the time. You know why? She's doing something. She is taking positive steps to do something. She's trying to get the Word of God into people, especially women. She's trying to get the Word of God into them, and she's effective. Rick Warren. Oh, the, you know, The conservatives and the liberals both are after him because he's going to pray at Barack Obama's inauguration. The conservatives, oh, he don't need to, you know, he don't need to go to Barack Obama's inauguration and pray. And the other ones say, why would Barack Obama want to have Rick Warren there? And Rick Warren, I tell you what, bless his heart, he made the right decision to go and do it. He'll have a line of communication open with Barack Obama. And you watch it. Sometime in Barack's, or President Obama's administration, he'll come to Rick Warren for some counsel. I doubt if he comes to me. He don't know me. If he knew me, he would. No, I don't know. But you know, I think it's smart on Rick Warren's part. You know, here are these, you know, concern. Oh, he shouldn't do that. Well, does our president need our prayer? I don't agree with him on a lot of his issues, but I need to pray for him. I want God to use him. I want him to lead us out of the mess that we're in. I didn't vote for him. I disagree with him on some things. But I don't hate him. If he asked me to pray, I'd go pray. But it's these guys that are trying to do something that gets criticized. Joel Osteen gets criticized all the time. What's he doing? He's pastoring the largest church in America. He's reaching more unsaved people. Two people right now, I believe, that are probably reaching more unsaved people than anybody in America. Joyce Meyer and Joel Osteen. Speaking into their lives. And you watch it. There will be people who come to this church because of Joel Osteen. I remember years ago, there was people who would come to this church because they watched Kenneth Copeland on TV. They come to this church because they wanted a church that preached like Kenneth Copeland did. And they came to our church. He was doing something. He still is. He's doing something. And it's the people that are doing something and saying something and speaking into people's lives are the ones that get attacked. So not everybody's going to love you when you do right. And you can let that eat your lunch, or you can let it go in one ear and out the other. As long as God loves me, you don't have to. And I wished you would. But I'm not going to get lay awake at night tossing and turning because Nancy don't like me. Shame on you. So we deny. Another thing that we do when we fear is we defy. We strike out. We attack. If we can't get on the defensive, we get on the offensive. Okay? Another thing is we suppress. This is where it gets dangerous. Because what do you do when you suppress something? You start burying it. And when you start burying something, guess what? At some point, it's going to come out. When you bury a seed, what's it going to do? It's going to sprout and it's going to produce whatever it is. When you bury fear on the inside of you and you suppress it and you don't properly deal with it, at some point in your life, that's going to manifest in a negative way because you suppressed it. It's better off to deal with it when it comes. The next thing is this. Avoid. Avoid. You run. You run from the things that you're afraid of. You run from the relationships that you're afraid of. You know why there's a lot of people that are not in church? God's dealing with them. God's dealing with them. But they're afraid. Let me say something to you as our church body. When we have people who come to our church for the first time, do you know what their greatest emotion is? Fear. Have you ever gone into a new place, a new church? What do you have to deal with? Well, what kind of church is that? How are they going to act? How are they going to treat me? Am I going to be accepted? Am I going to feel comfortable? What is that? It's fear. And a lot of times you have to walk through fear to do certain things. Well, what if we're unfriendly? What if nobody talks to them? What if nobody treats them well? What if they walk past our greeters and our greeters are talking to each other and they grunt at them? That reinforces their fear. We ought to go out of our way to make new people feel comfortable. Amen? We see a lot of new people every week and celebrate recovery. They have to come through a lot of fear to come to celebrate recovery. They may even be high. They may have to get high to come to celebrate recovery. We've seen that. They can't come normal. They have to get high so they can have the courage to come. That's okay. If we can get them there and get them to listening and get them to open up and feel comfortable, next time they won't have to be high to come. That preacher said it's okay to get high. No, I didn't. I did not. I caught that. But I'm saying that people think that. I mean, it's okay if they come in high. We'll get them off of it. We'll help them get rid of it. Amen? Okay. So they avoid. They insulate. They insulate themselves. It's a form of self-protection. Are they really protecting themselves? No, it's like hugging a rattlesnake. Hugging fear is like hugging a rattlesnake. They're insulating themselves. They're protecting themselves, but they're really killing themselves. Then they rationalize. Well, you know, it's not real. Yeah, it really is. Deal with the reality of it. Deal with the reality of it. How about manipulate? Ooh. If I can't insulate, if I can't isolate, if I can't deny it, then I'm going to control it. I'm going to control the situation to control the fear. No. No, 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 no. How about escape? How about another one? Get high. Deaden it with alcohol, drugs, food, sex. Deaden the pain some way. Do something to deaden the pain because we don't want to face it. Okay. What is God's intended response when fear comes? And let me make this statement. There's only one kind of fear that's acceptable, and that's the fear of God. And when the fear of God, when we have the fear of God, it's the end of all other fears. Because the essence of the fear of God is the foundation for our faith. When we get into the reverence and the fear of God and we really, really open our hearts and open our lives to God and really, really listen to what He has to say and really, really, really respect what He has to say. A lot of times when we come in, we have our own opinions. And most of our opinions stink. Well, let me tell you what I believe. Okay, then why are you in this mess? I don't believe what you believe is wrong. Why do you say that? Because you're still in the mess. What you believe is your way out. And if you're believing wrong, you're not getting better, you're getting worse. One of the hardest things to do, and this is why I don't like counseling, is to convince people that they have a problem and that they need help. I don't need help. I'm okay. I can handle it. I mean, but when we really start listening to God, I don't have a problem. Everybody else has a problem, not me. This is not a problem in my life. This is something that I need. I need. It could be something that's killing you. It could be lots of different things that we think is normal, but they're not really normal. It's what we call dysfunctional. It's something that's killing you. There are people who are incapable of having normal relationships because they are so dysfunctional. They cannot function. And what do? They go from relationship to relationship to relationship to relationship to relationship. And everybody else has a problem, but not me. They're in denial. They insulate. They suppress. They don't get honest. But listen, when we start really reverencing God, how do you reverence God? You listen to what He has to say. God is smarter than you are. God really does have the answers. God's opinions are better than yours. And they're better than mine. I have lots of opinions about stuff. And sometimes I find out that my opinion was wrong. I had a Fonzie moment. Somebody, I don't know what I'm talking about. Is that before your time, Paige, Fonzie? Oh, okay. You're older than I thought you were. So the fear of God is the end of the other fears. Because that's when we really start opening up and allowing God to speak to us. And then we can start the self-examination that it takes to initiate the change. This is where faith begins. Now let me give you some scripture. We got 5 minutes. Are you want to go fast? Go with me to Genesis chapter 15, verse 1. This is the Lord dealing with Abram. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, "Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceeding great reward." He was entering into a covenant relationship with Abram, who became Abraham. And the thing that he said to him when he appeared to him, he says, "Don't you be afraid, because I am your shield and your exceeding great reward." In other words, he says, "I'm going to be the one that takes care of you. I'm going to be the one that goes before you. I'm going to be your shield, and I'm even going to be your, I'm going to guard your backside." You know, this God said, "I got your back, Abram." You know God's got your back if you trust Him. He's got your front, He's got your back. What do I need to fear? If God be for us, who can be against us? Psalms 23:4 says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." It didn't say, "Yea, though I die." It says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." One of the biggest fears that people have is dying. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall not fear. I will fear no evil. I will fear no evil. I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Now, are those just words, or are those real? Psalms 34:4. "I sought the Lord, and He heard me, and delivered me from all my fears." How many? All my fears. Psalms 56:3. "Whenever I'm afraid, I will trust in you." When fear comes at you, what is the first thing that you ought to do? You ought to turn to God. "Whenever I am afraid," and you will be afraid. To say that you will never be tempted to be afraid, I would be lying to you, because you will be. "But whenever I'm afraid, what will I do? I will trust in Thee." When fear comes, Lord, I'm turning to You, and my trust is in You, because You said that You are my shield, and You are my rear reward, and You're this. And what am I doing? I'm renewing my mind to that. How about Psalms 118:6? "The Lord is on my side." Hey! Who's on your side? Lord's on my side. Is the Lord on your side? The Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man can do to me. That's good. I like that. Isaiah 12:2. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For Yah, the Lord, is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. You know what the righteous right hand of God is? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Where does Jesus say it? He says at the right hand of the Father. He says, my right hand is going to become your salvation. That's Jesus. Man. If I hadn't been to the Baptist church, I'd have shouted then. Okay. I'm kidding. Isaiah 43:1. But now, thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. Paige, he knows your name. He knows your middle name, too. He knows you. He knows all about you. He says, you are mine. Ooh, what you got to be afraid of? Why are you afraid? I ain't got a problem. Okay. Isaiah 43:5. Fear not, for I'm with you. I will bring your descendants from the east and gather you from the west. Romans chapter 8, verse 15. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. You know why I don't have to fear? He's my daddy. You know that word Abba means daddy? Daddy God. He's daddy God. You ever just said, hey, dad? Remember when you're little kids and you get afraid and you say, dad, can I sleep with you? 1 John chapter 4, verse 15. I love this one. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love. And God is what? God is love. If you're abiding with God, there's no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. You got fear problems? You probably got love problems. Uh-oh. You probably got love issues in your life. Agape issues. Not kissy-kissy love. God's love issues. You got those kind of issues going on in your life. You abide in God. God lives in you. He calls you His. He says, I'm your daddy. I love you. Really, perfect love casts out fear. God, you know why? God don't want you tormented. He wants you to lay down at night, sleep in peace. He loves you. Amen? So why have we got to fear about anything? Should we fear the economy? Nope. You need to keep doing what you're supposed to be doing. Investing. Giving, sowing. If you quit doing any of that because you're afraid, then you've withdrawn from the blessing that God has for you. Let's go into the blessing. Let's keep doing things in faith and not in fear. We got to quit. The redheaded woman will be in here all over us in a minute. Let's pray. Did you get anything out of that? Okay. If anybody would like to have these scriptures, Miss Gail would be glad to make some copies. Or I would. One of us will. If anybody would like to have a copy of these, I'd be glad to share them with you. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight in Jesus' name. Thank you for your love. Thank you that we don't have to be prisoners of fear. That we can walk through these things. Lord, help us to be open and honest to your voice, to hear the things that you say to us. May we quit making excuses for fear and really deal with it face to face so that we can truly be free. Lord God, bless your people tonight. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Two things before you go. The offering takers are at the back. Don't forget them.